Blog Talk Radio.
The Pentagon is a sheet with five sides. And the Pentagon.
Saturday, you're listening to Bad Company with Gray Eye Smith, Daniel Lucino, and Weaver of Dreams. And tonight's show is based on front page picks from, I believe, the month of November, if I'm correct. But anyway, yeah, so I'm going to check the phone lines and see if we have any callers. Well, we do. Hello, and welcome to the show, Weaver of Dreams, a.k.a. Katie McDonald.
McDonald, eh? Good morning, yeah. Good evening, hello.
Hello.
Good evening. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. All right, so I'm going to bring on Daniel DeFuno.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it happening?
Hi, Daniel.
It goes great. Hey, sorry I couldn't come on the last show before. Crazy stuff in life going on, but all's good. So very excited to be back here right now. Before we get started, I want to give a little shout-out to the opening song. That was True Colors by Cyndi Lauper, but that was recorded by Kendall Wiles, who's actually a friend of the show. I've reached out to her before and asked her if we could use some of her songs, and she says yes, and is very gracious. Everybody should go check out Kendall, because Kendall is on tour with Postmodern Jukebox, which is an amazing band, and I believe they're going to be in Portland, Oregon tomorrow night, but then they're going all over the United States, and they're going to be going all over Europe in April. You got to check them out. That'll be Kendall. We'll be singing with them. So, Kendall, if you're listening, thanks for letting us play your song on there tonight. But besides great songs, that was the opening song, we got a lot of awesome poetry, I think, going on tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got Front Page Picks, I believe, from the month of November. But I was just Googling Postmodern Jukebox, and it says there's tickets in Vancouver. But I hit the link, and it says it's broken. So I'm not too sure what's up with that.
Yeah, I saw something that Kendall posted where she said she was going to be in Boston, but then I tried to look and I couldn't find them. But she posted on social media today that she was in Vancouver. So, again, if you're listening, Kendall, I'm not sure what's happening, but I believe you're correct. I think they might be in Vancouver tonight. Vancouver, one of my favorite all-time places in the world. Beautiful place there. So, yeah,
actually,
just go on their website and check it out. See, look them up. Go ahead, Gray.
Well, it says on their website that they're playing the 10th tonight from 8 o'clock till midnight. So in 53 minutes, they're going to be on stage at the Center for Performing Arts.
Oh, amazing. All right, so Kendall's not listening now. She's getting ready for the concert, but she listens in the future. That's what I thought. So I couldn't find tickets online, but she posted something about being in Vancouver tonight. So I'm sure it's going to be an amazing show. Those guys are awesome, and Kendall has a beautiful voice, as you heard. So, yeah, find tickets. They're all over the place. They're going all over the United States, all over Europe, coming in April. So definitely check them out. Like I said, Kendall's a friend of the show because she's let us use her songs a couple of times. So thanks again, Kendall, if you're listening, and everybody go check them out. They're one of my favorite bands by far.
I would love to check it out. But unfortunately, I'm on the show tonight, so.
We're glad you're here. Are you? I didn't know you were in the Vancouver area. You're in the Vancouver area?
Yeah, and I'm actually just in a little suburb outside of Vancouver called Surrey, British Columbia. But
I know exactly where Surrey is.
Wow. So you've been up this way.
Well, no, but I have. I manage a group of people all over North America, and I actually have. I have some people in Westminster, in Surrey, in Coquitlam. I'm going to say it the wrong one. I have people all over in the Vancouver area, but I do have Coquitlam. That's it. Yeah, everybody makes fun of me when I say that one wrong. But I have somebody that works for me that lives in Surrey, so I'm kind of familiar. I haven't been there, but I'm familiar with the area because I have people that work there. I talk to them about it a lot. So I'm sure they'll be back.
Cool. What are you doing?
Gray, they're an awesome band. Yeah, I mean, I work for a company called, people can look me up on LinkedIn and so forth. I work for a company called Access, which manages, sounds very boring, but it's actually interesting. We manage people's information, so I manage a call center for them. I have people all over, I have 36 people work for me all over North America. And I have three right now in the Vancouver area.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You sound pretty talented.
I don't know about that. I have talent for hiring good people.
But you manage them, so, you got to be managing something if you can manage 36 people.
Managing something. Yeah, so like I tell them, I said, my team does awesome. I say, they do all the work and I take all the credit. That's a manager's job right there.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, I'm not sure when these – go ahead.
sorry, I was just going to say their venue is the Center for Performing Arts, where I went to see Colin James from some free concert tickets that I won.
Oh, cool. Excellent. Yeah, yeah. It looks like a great venue. Like I said, Kindle, Kindle's on, she's on Instagram, she's on all everything social media, and she was posting pictures this morning about being in someplace in Vancouver, so I thought they might have been there, but I couldn't find the correct bunch of dates online. But yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a great show. They're a lot of fun. Everybody should check them out. Absolutely.
So is it Scott Bradley's Postmodern Jukebox?
Yeah, Scott Bradley. He's the if anybody watched the videos, which I highly recommend. He's the piano player. He arranges all the songs, and there's usually a bunch of different people on the actual playing the music. They have, I believe, on concert they have three singers and a bunch of musicians as well too. Kindle again being one of them. Yeah, Scott Bradley is the founder and he's a piano player with them.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you're right. I think you're right. These are, I'm looking at the, but anyway, thanks Kindle, if you're listening. Hope you have an amazing show tonight. I'm sure you will. It looks like we are still in November, believe it or not, for these poems. That's how many front page picks our friends in Late Night Poets get. We're still working on November. So that's fun.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Yeah.
Absolutely.
No kidding.
So should we get started? What do you think?
Poem posted. Yeah, Weaver has the first poem posted. She's on it. So, Weaver, who would you like to read?
Well, this is Pam's poem. I wish she was reading it, but I will give it a whirl for her and hopefully do it justice. So, for our Pam, floating music beneath the moonlight. Shadows caressing the curve of the silver orb. Tender music floats. The plays, tendrils of flame wild and free, love from within shines. With every moan he consumes her aching thoughts, her skin needs his touch. He has gone away, adventure is his mistress, she hangs on to hope. The soaring ravens carry her message of love, lusting eternal. Though time may change him, she will know his spirit's light upon shores of sand. Her bow is gliding, teasing a shiver from taut strings, wooing notes to bring him home. Sharing a dream's kiss, drenched eruption of salt spray, where moonlight threads bind. End poem.
Wow, incredible read. And I love the poem. You know, Pam's such a talented writer. I'll comment in a bit, but what did you think, Daniel?
Yeah, it's really great. It's a great picture. Anybody who's following along online, you can check out the picture that she, that I believe, must have been the prompt. It's so beautiful and sensual, but in an almost fantasy cartoon-like way, which I really like. The soaring ravens carry her message of love, lusting eternal. It's just a beautiful, beautiful line. And I love the first line, too, shadows caressing the curve of the silver orb. So, yeah, it's really, really great. Awesome, awesome job. Can I just ask both, Gray, both you and Weaver, just to check your line? Are you guys hearing that feedback? I'm hearing a ton of feedback. I don't think it's me.
No, I hear it, too. It's most distracting. And I've been on mute while you've been talking, and it's still been there. It's gone now, but I'm always on mute when someone else is talking, but that noise is horrendous. It's awful.
Really?
Was that you, Greg?
I don't hear a sound. No, I don't hear a sound. Nothing.
A little better now, I think.
Clear as a bell.
All right, maybe it's gone. All right. We scared it away. We'll go with that.
I found the poem left me breathless and wanting more, you know. She has such a talent for really evoking the emotional connection to her work through words. And, she's such a talented poetess that this is no less, a shining, I can see why I got front page pick for sure. Congratulations on the front page pick, Pam. And thank you for sharing. Weaver, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was beautiful. She's taken every aspect of that picture and woven it into her poetry. There's the music with a lovely lady who seems to have a tiny little hat on her head. Why she has a tiny little hat, I have no idea. Very cute. Anyway, so she's playing the violin or whatever, I think it's the violin, and there's the birdies going off. Ah, beautiful. She's taken everything within that and made a beautiful, beautiful piece of poetry out of it. And as you say, it ends too quickly. You want more. I particularly love that last stanza, which is always a weakness of mine. Sharing a dream's kiss, drenched eruption of salt spray where moonlight threads bind. I can't even say it. Beautifully done. And thank you so much for sharing it with us, Pam. Most enjoyable.
Hey, guys, I want to just say thanks to Harmo Neurotica and DW London on the board. I'm going to call back in case it's me because that horrible feedback is back. So if you don't mind, Gray, I'm going to hang up and call back just in case it's me that's doing it. See if we can get a better connection. So I'll be right back.
Okay, sure. Okay, thank you. So I just wanted to read a comment that MK Rock put on her poem. It says, because your ink delivers, because I always leave a reed with thoughts in tow, your page holds special ink. This piece is simply elegant beauty in lines that float the ethers with relevance, which is just a beautiful comment. She's a great commenter, MK Rock, and Pam is a wonderful poetess as well, so. Awesome read, and thank you for the write, Pam. Much appreciated. So hello, DW London. It'd be nice if you could call in. I don't know, maybe Phil, if you're listening, you could send them a link. If you're not busy, DW, it'd be great to have you. All right, so I'm going to bring Daniel back on. And then, hello, Daniel, welcome back. So how is it?
Right, so it must have been me. I don't know if you can hear anything, Weaver, because I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everybody listening. Sorry, Kendall, if you're listening. We had a good talk about you, and it was all during feedback, but it seems to be gone, so it must have been my connection. So sorry, everybody, but hopefully it's fixed.
No, I think it's coming back, but still, no, it's there again. It's like a something hovering over us. Somebody's moving furniture.
I don't want to spend the whole show on it, but did it disappear when I was gone?
Yes, it seemed to. Let me just go on mute and see if it goes.
No, all right, it's got to be me then.
That's weird.
I'll let you guys talk, and I'll try to call back from another phone. I don't want to cause these issues on the coast. So
that's
I'll,
okay. I don't think it is you because I've heard it when you've not been online or
oh,
on a
did.
Show with
oh,
us. Oh, yes, definitely. Gray, could you mute for a second for us, please? Go on mute.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Ah, it's gone.
Can you hear me, Weaver?
Yeah,
it might be
you,
Gray. It completely left when you put on mute, so it might be you, Gray, I hate to say.
No way. Okay,
oh,
well,
no.
I'll try calling back in.
Okay, honey.
I'll try calling back in.
Can we wait before you leave, Gray? I'm sorry, guys, listening to too much technical stuff. I can't answer the phone. Are you able to just log in yourself if you call in? Because we can't answer the phone.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah. We'll get started.
All right.
Thanks, Gray. Why don't we continue on? I'll read this one if you want. Weaver, while Gray's calling back in.
Cool.
Sorry, guys, for all the technical issues.
No problem. They will understand.
They will. You know, hey, life is full of these little trials and tribulations. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
How we handle them, that's it. We handle them with grace and poise and total
panic
embarrassment. And panic and embarrassment underneath, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, this one, front page pick for Oak Solace 84, called Turning Season. Enough with this endless summer in this faux irrigated paradise of irritating pretense and vice, propped up with choruses of surfboards and sand so absently penned, and so it's time once again for proper cyclical seasons in a place of proper reason. I am more than ready for autumn colors and cooler climes, away from the lauded la-la land where cool is on demand at a cost well out of hand. End poem. Well, that was definitely fun to read. What do you think, Weaver? I don't know if Gray, you're back yet?
Doesn't sound like it.
I am, but I've been muting myself.
Oh, hey, yeah, it sounds okay so far. So, hey, Grace.
Yeah.
Sounds okay so far. So, why don't we start with Weaver with the comments?
Well, I thought this, you read that beautifully, by the way, as if you'd read it before, which I never do. Beautifully done. Really, I loved it. It just seemed to, I know it was a bit of a rant, which is allowed. We're allowed a rant. That's what living in a land where you have freedom of speech is all about. But I loved it. I thought it was brilliant because he's quite right. This endless summer and people desperately trying to remain cool is costing everybody, I imagine, a lot of money and electricity, etc. So, yes, I can see why you would think that was an annoying thing to have to put up with. And so it's time once again for proper cyclical seasons in a place of proper reason. I liked it a lot. I just thought it was so... It was elegant in its rant. It was to the point, beautifully put. And I really, really enjoyed it. So I'm going to read more of Oakes, also this 84's poetry, because this was wonderful. Thank you for sharing.
Great comment. Unfortunately, I didn't get to hear the poem read, and I haven't had a chance to read it, so I'm just going to read it through real quick before I comment. I don't know if you guys want to talk between each other, but I'll just be a minute.
Sure, I can comment on the poem while we're waiting, no problem. Yeah, I thought this was great, and it's funny because he has a bird song down below there, and it reminded me very much of a song. I could see this being sung, especially at the end, away from lauded La La Land, where cool is in demand at a cost well out of hand. I also don't mind rants either, Weaver. I think it's great. I mean, whenever I listen to like live poetry read, they literally just seem like rants to me. There's so much live poetry is just people like complaining about things, which is fine. That's emotion, you know. But I've certainly, anybody wants to read my two latest poems? Well, my three latest poems. They are just rants. So there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, this is just somebody, you know, I think kind of, you know, very poetically, for lack of a better term, or very artistically saying, you know, they're sick of where they are and they want to change, you know, and we all go through that. I mean, I'm talking to some people. I was actually talking to some people in Vancouver that work for me, and they were saying, you know, Gray knows it rains constantly in Vancouver. It's always gray. It's always rainy. And the sun was out the other day, and they were like, I can't wait for the springtime. I'm so sick of this now. You know, we all get like that. We love the seasons, but when winter and summer are going on too long, we kind of, you know, look forward to spring and fall. And this is really well done in that pretense. So excellent job. All right, Gray, if you had a chance to read it, and you might, I think you have the feedback again, so when you're not talking, you might want to put the mute on, but otherwise, if you want to comment.
Yeah, sure, you betcha. Yeah, you know, he really is a very talented writer. I follow him, actually, but Oak Solstice has been around for quite a while, and, you know, he never fails to deliver with his rights, whether they're gripes or, you know, uplifting and loving, you know, it's, he has a very talented way with his words, and, you know, this is no less than that, I agree with him in a lot of ways. The hype is annoying as hell, you know, it's like, I don't know, you know, people buy into the hype of this full irrigated paradise, you know, of initiating, irritating pretense and vice, propped up the choruses of surfboards and sand, so absently can. And so it's time once again for proper cyclical seasons in a place of proper region. You know, La La Land, right? They call it La La Land for a reason, because people are at La La Land, right? You know, they're often some other world, in my opinion, and they're all chasing the dream, but, you know, how many people are actually living it, right? But, you know, I agree with them on the hype, you know. It's very, very talented throughout, so, yeah, absolutely. All right, well, I'm going to put myself on mute while he uploads a poem.
Cool. Don't put yourself on too long because I think it's your time to read.
Well, it's a ladies' one, so I'll read it. I don't mind doing the ladies' because there's usually more gentlemen's ones than there are ladies', so we'll just go with the flow. You may have to read one with a high voice at one point or other tonight, but not this one, okay?
Aye, we can do that.
And I could talk with a deep voice. Want to Be by Teresa Streska. No. I love your name, Teresa, and I do apologize. I can never pronounce it correctly because I'm a dumb woman. Okay, fated to be. Fated to be together, him and I, our souls connected at birth. Fate brought us together in the most peculiar way. Met many years prior to now, but don't exactly remember how we met. Now, some 22 years later, we fell in love in just an instant. I truly do believe in fate and that our cards are dealt from the time of our conception to the time our heart stops beating. End poem.
Oh, that's a great read.
Fantastic read, Eber. I agree with this, you know. I think quantum entanglement is divine, you know. I mean, it's, you know, our souls connected at birth. You know, they were probably connected lifetimes before that is what I think. You know, we're all quantumly entangled in one form or another is my belief, you know. As we sit here, us three on this phone, you know, we've probably been friends in another lifetime. And, you know, who knows, maybe we're artists or something. But, you know, I've read this poem before, and, you know, so that's what I got out of it is the quantum entanglement that, you know, I truly do believe that in fate and that our cards are dealt from the time our conception to the time our heart stops beating. And then, you know, it goes on secular after that, you know, lifetimes-wise. So that's my opinion, and I thought it was beautiful. So, what did you think, Lena?
Oh, yes, it was just, I just loved it. I like that idea of everybody has a somebody. I think it's a wonderful idea. It's just very unfortunate if you happen to meet somebody before you meet the right one. Oh, dear. But other than that, I think it's a lovely, lovely idea. I believe in it, too. I once had my palm read, and the woman who read them said, it's an old soul. And I thought, well, that's a bit much. I mean, I know I look my age, but come on. But she meant that I had been born before and before and before, because both of my hands, the lines were identical, which doesn't happen very often, because your left hand is what you're born with and your right hand is what you do with it or whatever, the other way around. So that was very interesting. So I do believe in fate, and I believe it's lovely that people get together and feel as though they have known each other forever, because being friends as well as lovers is guaranteed to make a beautiful relationship. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Daniel, have you commented?
I have not. And I agree with you on the quantum entanglement. It's for those of you who don't know what that is, they you know, once atoms have kind of been together in touch, they could be light years away and still affect each other is very interesting. I don't think anybody knows how it works, but there's a theory of, you know, that it does work. And I think the same thing, too. I've said before that, you know, people that you meet are you just, you're still, you were with them anyway. You just happen to be meeting now. It's just part of your life. You know, and you hear these theories of time that it's cyclical as well, too. So it is interesting that, you know, the people you haven't met yet, you haven't interacted yet, you still have a connection to you. You just haven't made it yet, right? And with this one here, you know, you when you were born, like maybe that's true. My wife and I were born. It was going to happen. You know, we had this connection anyway. It was just a matter of us getting together. Yeah, so really interesting. And it was very, very beautifully done. I like Teresa's poems a lot. So great job. And let's move on with life, Weaver. What do you want to do?
Right. Next up we have Piano Siren by A.R. Mundell. And as there's three ladies' poems coming up next, I'm going to ask Gray if he would read this one, please. In a nice, hi, boys. Thank you.
All right. So we have Piano Siren. A silent piano, loud with presence, sits watching passers-by in a hospital lobby, so possessed that it feels like a person, a stalker, waiting for the right prey. One can almost hear it, the haunting siren songs, plucked like loosely fingers, echoing in the hospital halls of the dead. Can almost feel the crowd of the wandering lost, congregating around the music like a campfire to warm their souls. End poem.
That was great.
So what did you think? Oh, thank you.
And, I thought it was, I love Amy's. I know when I used to do the show and used to do the show with Bobby. Bobby, if you're listening, I love you and miss you. She was a fan of Amy's. And, excuse me. Had a cough for a second. Hey, I finally used the mute button for its correct purpose. I never did. A silent piano is a really interesting metaphor, I think, because I always said that a piano, every single song ever made and ever will be made, is sitting right there in front of you. You just have to find it, you know? It's all music, it's all expression is in that piano, and a silent piano with a loud presence is a really, really interesting metaphor. So I really liked it a lot. I thought it was very interesting and a great job. I'm going to put myself on mute. I think if we all put ourselves on mute when we're not talking, I think it'll help with the feedback. But, yeah, it was great. I guess it's your turn to comment, Weaver.
Thank you very much. Oh, I thought it was wonderful. It got to the end, and I thought, my goodness, this is beautiful and creepy. So creepy. Well, I mean, I'm in awe of the imagination of a person like Amy, who can look at this and produce this beautiful poem out of a piano siren. I thought it was wonderful. And you think about it, it's in a hospital. Of course there will be deaths. And of course there will be wandering souls going, what happened? You can understand where she'd get that from. But I would never have thought of it. So clever, Amy. So beautiful. And so well done. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I loved it.
Excellent.
Beautiful comment.
And go for it, Gray. You got to read it.
Okay, so Thierick said, what an interesting concept. Is this a story or more of a metaphor? And A.R. Mandel and Amy answered, thank you very much. And it is a story more than a metaphor. There was a piano on the floor of the hospital where my grandma was, right near the, I forget the term, but it basically make them comfortable ward. And the piano was so haunted that I could feel it staring at me every time I passed, and it had a very loud presence. So I imagined this story behind it. The whole place was haunted to the point where the nurses treated it as every day. Like my gran was in a small room with an ensuite bathroom. We were all chatting. Then suddenly the nurse came in and asked why we'd hit the call button. We said we hadn't. And she went, oh, looked at the bathroom with where you're staying, and then declared, okay, it's the ghost again, like a Tuesday, LOL. And that thing was strong, because to actually call anyone from the bathroom, you have to tug the cord which hangs from the ceiling. And it did it about 8 times whilst I was there. Plus it tried to possess me or something when I was falling asleep on the pull-out chair they provided. I stupidly put my head by the bathroom door, LOL. I realized before it did and broke out of it. But it was pretty scary. You just don't expect that stuff in a working hospital. So there's a story behind that. And great fight. And she won agreeing in the $50 related to a musical instrument contest that Kevin ran. So congratulations on your you're finishing your finalist award. And, you know, I found the setting of the piano in the hospital very odd as well. But, you know, I don't know, stranger things have happened, I guess. But not quite so strange as, you know, the pulling of the nurse's alarm. It was fantastic, right? And a beautiful read as well. I read it. it was just wonderful. Very intriguing. You know, like, musical instruments have that kind of magic to them, you know, where they call to the musician to come and play them. You know, the musician just can't help himself from picking up the violin or, you know, tapping the piano keys because there's a connection that is there for them, you know, and they just can't help themselves. They have to play the instrument or it's just not right if they don't. So, you know, I've seen pianos put in malls and, you know, the people that come together, like I've seen videos where, you know, they put a piano in the foyer of a mall and then next thing you know, there's a violinist there, and opera singer, and, you know, it's like the whole show began. Just because they put a piano in the lobby of this, or the foyer of this mall, which is kind of unique. You know, like I said, the music just calls to the spirits of those musicians, I guess. But, yeah, it was an interesting story and a wonderful pleasure to read it. So, excellent storytelling. All right, so what do we have next, Edie?
Okay, I just to mention it, I hadn't ever heard of pianos in hospitals, but it just so happened last month when I had to go in for an MRI scan, I had gone to the cafeteria to have a little cup of tea afterwards because I was scared of anything, and there was a piano, and a guy just sat down and started singing and playing a Beatles song. It was wonderful. I so enjoyed it. So, yeah, very good idea. Anyway, back to the job in hand, of course. And this is... Daniel, if you would read this one, it's Do Fairies Ever Get Saved or Just Tortured by Jenny the Deep. Over to you.
Absolutely. And, well, it came back again, but I think we almost have this, we all keep on mute, except for who's reading. I think we're getting this feedback down a little bit. I think that's the deal. I think if we all just stay on mute, I think that's it. So we're getting it. Feedback, you're not going to win. We're gonna win on this, I'm telling you. All right, I'm just trying to get... Man, we are having technical issues tonight, but that's okay. Or I'm having technical issues. Let me just refresh and get Jenny's poem. Ah, there we are. Another brevity. I love it. But do fairies ever get saved or just tortured? What a great title. Shackled by chains of true nightmares, no hero to set me free. Captured, traded, left abandoned, crying, fighting hell. They used to believe in me. I was loved and respected. Alone, I was created. Alone, I die. End poem. And that's interesting. If she's really, you know, I can take this multiple ways. If she's talking about fairies, it can almost be a commentary on childlike fantasy, right? Because I kind of see that almost going away. You know, I wrote a poem a little while back, and I titled it, Do Children Still Chase Butterflies? And, you know, Weaver, I'm guessing Gray and Weaver, you can both relate to that when you're a kid kind of running out, chasing butterflies and playing in a field. You have nothing. You don't have toys. You don't have, you know, you don't have cell phones. You don't have any of this stuff. You just have to go out and play, and you're kind of running around nature looking at things. I don't know if kids do that anymore. You know, kids seem to just be stuck on the television. And so is that kind of magical thing still around? And that's what I get from this. But I also get it as a metaphor, maybe like a self metaphor, you know, where because she is talking about no heroes to set me free, captured alone. I used to be believed in, you know, so it's somebody who maybe was loved before and believed in and felt like there was somebody, and that kind of crumbled and went away, and now they're just alone. So that's you know, an interesting, dark, haunting, you know, sad metaphor or story. Thing. I used to be this fairy, somebody that really thought I was magical, and now I'm just a person and nobody cares anymore. And, you know, that does happen to people, right? Absolutely. You know, sometimes so. Yeah, interesting. Great job, Jenny. I love, I don't see, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see a lot of brevities from her. And I think you should, I think they're great. I think you did a great job. So let's go with, why don't we go with Gray?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I found the concept to be intriguing, you know, so much said in so few words, you know, shackled by chains with true nightmares, no heroes set me free, captured, traded, left abandoned, crying, fighting hell. They used to believe in me. I was loved and respected. Alone I was created, alone I'll die. You know, it's just such a, grabs the heart, you know, that, you know, no hero set me free, and then alone I was created, alone I die. And that's the truth for all of us, you know. There is no hero to set you free. You have to set yourself free. You know, that freedom comes within your own mind, your own body, your own soul. And I don't know if you guys know a guy named Dr. Gabor Mate, but my mom introduced me to him, and this kind of, you know, relates to what he does. You know, he's like, you know, he deals with addictions and such, and you know, he helps you find the trauma that brought you to your addiction. You know, he says, you know, basically that we're all addicted to something, you know, whether it's alcohol, booze, fame, fortune, whatever it is that, you know, you're addicted to. We do anything and, you know, bend our will to that end. And because of some trauma that happened as a child. And so it's very interesting. You know, I really thought that this clicked along those lines of what he had to say. And so it was beautiful.
Excellent
tragic,
comment.
But
great.
True.
Excellent.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
And some news from the board. Repeated Knapp has joined. And hi, Repeated. And I'm gonna make a statement. That's my new favorite name, Repeated Knapp, because I certainly like Repeated Knapps, but that is an amazing name. So I'm a fan just because of your name. And DW London has been trying to connect, but she says, it failed every time. So it might not be us. There might be some technical issues going on. And Robbie's on the board, too. I don't know if we recognize Robbie. So we got a party on the board. But, yeah, DW, keep trying to connect. I'll post the links again in a second and see what you can do. But we'll try to get you on. All right, cool. Where are we going now, Gray? Did everybody comment? Are we moving on here?
Yeah, we're moving on. And we're moving on to... I had it a minute ago. Yes, here we have. Picking Berries by the Sea. Oh, Picking Berries by Seaglass. Sorry, Seaglass. Got you mixed up with your title there. And I'll read this one. Okay, Picking Berries, Seaglass. Equinox is the bell ring for the gold leaf and claret days, memories of our last days, the days of rosy red apples falling from boughs and cobnut browning. October, you slip through my arms and the trees drop red and gold leaves, carpeting the woods and streets. I should be picking the last of the sloes for Christmas gin. But the memory of you melds with the sweet smell of hedgerow blackberries, and I linger in the thorns. End poem.
Great read, Beaver. And so this is written in a contest tribute to IPC poets who are no longer with us, hosted by Allegia. This poem is written for the memory of the poet Vito Tribuzio. And my husband, who died on October 8th, and is inspired by Vito Cavuggio's poem, While Raking Leaves. It goes, memories of you come like the aroma of roasted chestnuts when October turns treetops into colorful sunsets. Wounds of love aren't colorful, but they can be blood red when a single leaf refuses to stay in a pile under the old chestnut and off to ride the fickle wind. Wow, that's beautiful. That, you know, she honored him with her work, you know, through his, and it really is a stunning poem. Emily P. said, this is a stunning short poem. Why on earth wasn't it FPP? Maybe it will be in brackets. I didn't know Vito or his works, but based on the prompt poem he wrote, perhaps I should read some, if available. He took the lead from his work, but this is just so perfectly your style. It worked brilliantly. Lovely, right? And, you know, it's beautiful. It's heart, you know, it's heartfelt, and you can feel the emotion oozing through it. I should be picking the last of the sloes for Christmas gin, but the memory of you melts with the sweet smell of hedgerow blackberries, and I linger in the thorns. Wow, that's deep and haunting. You can feel the connection, hauntingly beautiful throughout. Absolutely. Great job. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
It really is, you know, losing somebody, especially somebody close, is always, you know, the people closest to me I've lost is my parents, and, you know, that's something expected, right? They were older, so it wasn't, you know, is it something that, you know it's going to happen, but it's still tough. You know, I haven't, luckily, you know, still with my wife, still with my kid, you know, all that kind of thing, and, you know, it's got to be hard. You know, at any age, I actually went to today. I went to one of my aunt's birthdays, the last one left. She's 104. So people can live a long time. When she passes away, it's still going to be sad, you know, no matter, you know, whoever passes away, it's still, you know, it's a tough thing. And then, you know, talking about, you know, you slipped through my arms and the trees dropped red and gold leaves, carpeting the wood streets. Those kind of things stick around. It was interesting today. It was my father's sister, and, you know, whatever you believe in metaphysically, when my father passed away, you know, we had a burial and, you know, put the flowers around there. I went off, we did whatever we did. I went back afterwards by myself to the gravesite, so that, you know, you had your dinner and all that with the family people. I don't know if everybody does that in America. A lot of times we have like a gathering of everybody afterwards. I went back to the gravesite, and for whatever reason, there was one rose laid right over basically where my father's heart would be, was left there. So when they took the flowers away, one fell off and happened to lay right there. So I took it, and I actually have it in a frame somewhere in my house. And today, for what some reason, before I was going to visit his sister on the 104th birthday, it fell off the wall for no apparent reason whatsoever. So, you know, interesting. I just thought it was a story about, you know, people being missed and so forth we were talking about here, but you know, these type of things, you know, get in your mind, right? The trees drop red and gold leaves, and it's just almost, sometimes it can almost be a sign, right, of, you know, something of the person's passing or something that signifies it. So, yeah, this is a great piece. Nice job. Weaver, your thoughts?
Very, very sad, the ending. I can fully appreciate and understand how feelings at this, they linger and they last, and so they should, because that person is always there. They're in your heart, they're in your thoughts. So I find it very sad, and I hate to think of people being hurt. So I hope things are getting a tiny bit better, but this was a beautiful tribute and a lovely piece of poetry, so thank you for sharing.
Well, Weaver, you getting emotional, you know, really tugging at my heart. I've never heard you get that emotional yet. So it really pulls the heartstrings.
I'm sorry. I'm too empathetic. I can't help it. I just feel other people's pain. And, of course, I don't have any of my family left at all. So it does hurt a bit sometimes. Sorry.
No, you got family. Your family's with you right now. Your family's with you right now. You got Daniel, you got me.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it does get you. It does make you feel sad for other people, and I don't like that at all. So sorry.
Yeah. No. It's an interesting, you know, part of life. You know, my aunt. I was just talking about 104, right? no siblings left. Like, she's the one. She has her kids here, but, you know, other than that, she's, like, the last person in the family, and it must be a, you know, really, really interesting, you know, dark, like I can't imagine what it is, you know, with emotions. It sounds like you're going through, too. So, yeah, sorry, we're here for you. We're here for you. We got you.
Sorry, I don't mean to. It's just something. I've always been the same, so I'm not going to change very easily, I don't think. But I can get over it quickly. It just does hurt sometimes, and other people's pain is so sad. Anyway, I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. We're okay. Thank you so much, people. I'm sorry for bubbling again. Okay. Has everybody commented or not?
No, I haven't yet. So BW London says you're his big sis, and I said, yeah, you are a big sister. He goes, even if you are from Scotland,
he's never going to forget.
Even if you are Scottish.
Oh man, sorry, sorry, lad. Ah, dear. Love it.
Don't try and do
Scott. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, you know, it really is truly a touching poem. You can feel the emotion. And, your story in relation to this, Daniel, is that magical connection. You know, that's that your grandpa saying hi to you. You know, as far as I'm concerned.
Me too. I think the same thing.
Yeah, he's saying, hi, Daniel. You know, I love you. I'm here in spirit. If I can't be there in person, I this is me talking to you. And, he never left you, even though, you know, he's gone into another realm. He's still with you in his heart. So that's my opinion anyway. But, yeah, I mean, I can't find the link now. Okay, here we go. Yeah, picking berries. Equinox is the bell ring for the gold leaf and claret days, memories of our last days, the days of rosy red apples falling from boughs and cob nuts browning, October. You slipped through my arms and the trees dropped red and gold leaves carpeting the woods and streets. I don't know what slows are. Christmas gin, but the thought of her being in the thorns and I don't know, it's just beautiful. It's a very touching, right? Hauntingly beautiful throughout. So I guess I did comment, I apologize for going at that twice, but you know, it is
a
fabulous poem.
The second one was just as good as the first one, so appreciate it. All right,
absolutely.
Move on with life. Do it.
Okay. Are we ready for our next little venture? Here we have, I like this, Kathy Whispers by Cedra Chapman. And Gray, would you care to read this for us, please?
Sure, you betcha. Kathy Whispers by Cedra Chapman. And there's a little picture that says, women love mythical creatures, vampires, werewolves, unicorns, men who listen. Buzzing coffee beans, buxom passerby, his eyes locked on my lips as word flowed. A saint from Jane Austen's world. End poem.
Awesome read. And boy, we are in the world of brevities tonight, it looks like. That was the front page fix in November, brevities everywhere. One of my guilty pleasures as a man, which I don't know if that's really a guilty pleasure or not, is I really do like Jane Austen novels and movies. I think they're amazing. I know I'm a guy. I'm supposed to like mob movies and Clint Eastwood and Star Wars and all that. I really enjoy Jane Austen novels and movies. I think they're great. So, a saint from a Jane Austen's world is an interesting metaphor. And that is if they're thinking about the mythical creatures, if you ever read Jane Austen's novels, everybody's always flawed, right? Pride and Prejudice, Sense and Sensibility, They're all flawed characters, but they find their way somehow. So I thought that was a really great metaphor. All right, cool. And let's go. If everybody can mute, and we'll have Weaver comment.
Okay, I am now unmuted. I wonder if it's me. Oh, no, it can't be because I'm unmuted. Okay, sorry. Buzzing coffee bean bucked and passed by, his eyes locked on my lips. Now, that is just incredibly sensual. When you feel somebody looking at you and then the eyes go down and they look at your mouth. And then back up to your eyes again and you're going, oh, yes, whatever. So lovely. And yes, I could see that happening so easily. And then a saint from Jane Austen's world. Perfect. A lovely, lovely brevity. And again, 20 words. Come on. I mean, I couldn't be that succinct if I used 60. I mean, it's so clever. I liked it very much. Thank you. And I love the prompt you wrote to men who listen. Ah, dear Dick. Very good. Thank you so much for that, Peter. I really enjoyed it.
Well, what was that, Weaver? I wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry. I'm joking.
I know. Well done. You got me. I love that. Go for it, babe. Go for it.
Excellent. All right, Gray, you got to read that. What do you think?
You know, Cedar's work is definitely worth reading. He has a talent for, you know, getting his point across in short poems. But, you know, this one is fantastic. I loved it. You know, I love the gist of it, you know, a saint from Jane Austen's world. You know, I mean, I don't know much about Jane Austen, but judging by your comment, Daniel, it's interesting, for sure. Buzzing coffee beans, buxom passed it by, his eyes locked on my lips, his word flows, a saint from Jane Austen's world. Yeah, I mean, one of those mythical creatures, right? But, you know, yeah, absolutely. I really liked your jest at Katie. That was great.
But Jane Austen's, if you ever read Jane Austen before, I mean, I'm not a fan of like soap operas or any of that stuff. I don't like it. And that's kind of what she writes, but she writes characters so well. And she writes dialogue and relationships just so amazingly well. It's really interesting to me. There was a BBC special that was like a 6-hour special of Pride and Prejudice. It's, I think, one of the best things I've ever seen. Just the production, the acting, everything was great. So if you can find that, I recommend it, with Colin Firth as Mr. Darcy. But yeah, Jane Austen is a great writer, I think. But anyway, enough about Jane Austen. We're done.
Absolutely.
Sorry, Jane. Let's move on.
Sorry, I just want to share a few comments about this poem by M.K. Roth and Papa Terminus.
Sure.
So M.K. Roth says, the prompt had me chuckling. Viv hosts the great contest. You bring the current and real interactions in those close-quartered interactions, understanding the nature of humans and rich worlds existing between their ears. Thank you for a great brevity. And Cedar says, thanks, Roth. I actually wanted to write a full humor piece, but decided against it then. I'd be subscribing to the view of the speaker prompt. Sometimes got to stand up for the boys. Though Terminus picked up on the subtlety of the hidden context, that it probably won't last. LOL, absolutely. You ain't gone, said MK. And Papa Terminus says, huh, I agree with that saying. What is more rare than a werewolf or a unicorn, a man who listens? It's a curse, or is it a blessing that men are blessed with selective hearing? Cedar, it gets worse / better when we get married, LOL. Then we only answer when we hear our names, LOL. My wife and her sister will be talking to each other, and I turn around and just proclaim, I'm listening just for my name, not sure if this was meant to be humorous, but thought-provoking. And Cedar says, thanks, Terminus, for stopping by. Early in the relationship, it's a blessing for both the woman and the man. However, as the relationship matures, the male perspective is that it's a blessing only for the woman. I believe this is largely due to the content of the dialogue changing, because after a few years, couples run out of things to talk about. So for my brevity, I would like to imagine the male reader would find this humorous, but the female reader might have a different experience, which is how I like to write my poems. and he won a gold medal in that contest. So great job. Thank you for sharing, Cedar, and congratulations on the front page pick.
Excellent comment. All right. Excellent comment. And DW said to my comment, yes, we're supposed to like boxing, football, and beer. The problem is I like those two, but I also like poetry and Jane Austen, so I'm just a very confused person is the issue there. Ooh, and we got a new person, Terry Owen. I mean, Terry Owen joined saying, how is everyone? We are great, Terry, because now you're here. So we got a party, so thanks for joining in the party. And, yeah, we got lots of people on the board tonight. And where are we going to go? Weaver, who's going to read? And we'll get everybody else to mute.
Could I just ask, my memory is going, as you know, it's my age. Who was the last gentleman to read a piece of poetry? Was that you or was it Gray?
I believe it was Gray. I think it is my turn.
Thank you. I just have to, because I thought I'd marked it down and I hadn't. It works if you, a list works if you remember to actually add to it. Doesn't do much good if you don't.
Right.
So the next one up we have is I Tried to Tell You I Was Unhappy by Rooster Coburn. And if you could get that a read for us, please, Daniel.
Well, you know what?
I don't think it's been deleted.
I can. It's been deleted, yeah.
Oh.
I just clicked on it, so sorry.
Oh, well.
I hate to deny a beautiful woman a request, but I can't read that one.
Who is she? I want to know who she is immediately. Right, we'll get another one. I'm here. I'm on the case.
Excellent.
You're too funny, Eva.
I know. It's an occupational hazard. I get into more trouble because of my stupid jokes. Okay, here we are.
The best jokes ever, stupid ones.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. I like that. This one is Plethoric Postulate of Pivotal Panoramic Pestilence. Easy for you to say. By Stone.
Oh, Coast. Lord.
Oh, Lord.
All right. You don't like me. Where do you see this one? You really want to give me this one to read? Really, Weaver? All right, fine. Here we go. I'm going to do it.
You do it.
I'm going to do it. All right. This will be my best. Okay, so Stone Causeways, and those of you who haven't read it yet, you'll see what I mean when I start reading it, is Plethoric Postulate of Pivotal Panoramic Pestilence. Portrayed Plethoric Postulate of Pivotal Panoramic Pestilence pursuant to plebeian paganistic propaganda. People persist perching passively, patronizing precocious pistol-prone plague peddlers, pompously passing phosphorus paradigms paradoxically. Persuasive pragmatic premise of protagonist's pinnacle, perfunctory perspective. End poem.
Well done! Wow! Impressed.
Yeah, I have to get a cloth to wipe all the spit off my computer from saying that one.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. Great read, Daniel. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Perfectly plausible in all its portrayal. Yes, very good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed hearing somebody else reading it, more to the point. Wow. I mean, can you imagine the amount of effort that's gone into this? I'm so impressed. I'll never look at a pea the same way again. That's all I'm going to say on the matter. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Weaver. Great comment. And I really liked your perfectly plausible. It really goes with the pea situation here. And Daniel, yeah, you might have to wipe your mic off there because I'm sure there was a lot of spit flying with those peas. But Plethoric Postulate of Pivotal Panoramic Pestilence. What a title. And then the whole thing is just outstanding, you know, his ability to use the P words as he did to complete an understandable poem, you know, with just a P word. Nothing else, just P words. Which is just a talent that is absolutely talented, right? Stone Cause Waves, and congratulations on your front page pick. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it was great. It was actually easier to read than I thought. There was only a couple of words that I wasn't sure of. But what I like about this a lot is it actually has meaning. I mean, it's not only makes sense, but it has a like a social commentary to it as well too, which is really hard to do. I've tried Stone Cause Waves to write like this, and certainly not has been as successful. And there was a comment on, I knew you were reading some of the comments, and there was a comment that said, alliterated alphabets, artistically articulated, appreciated. So it was great. I have an alliteration comment on an alliteration poem. But yeah, it was fun and it really did well. And DW London says, try reading this one drunk. I just did. There you go. I'm not drunk yet. But that was great. It was well done because it really said something as well too. And we have a new person on there, I just saw the new Emerging Dot. Hey, Emerging Dot. Said, who here is watching Outlander? Well, I'm not because we're on the poetry show, but I guess you know me right now. Another Emerging Dot on the board, so thank you. All right, that is all of us commenting, and it's either Gray or your turn, Weaver, and who's going to read and what are we going to read?
All righty. Next we have Steel Magnolia by Sandra Lee, and I will give this a little. I wonder if Emerging Dot would ever consider writing her name in Morse code. Dot, dot, dot. Perhaps not. Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. That's a good one. See? You're knocking out of the park tonight with the crazy jokes.
You should have heard me the other night. DW London was the one that was getting it. It was fun. Anyway, I was being very naughty. So let's go back to poor Sandra Lee and Steel Magnolia. Beautiful picture. Serious face. Right, here we go. Since I left you among the ceaseless cypress and draping Spanish mosses, I followed the yellow brick path back into your world, flirting with every personality I remember of you. I've embraced you in the bright center of my chest, the hollowing between clavicles, where the rain pebbles are fading me rootstock of your ghostly frame. Along the brackish water, striking of beauty, full of eyes and bird feet and the wind's glory, sold in glass bottles by the riverine banks, where you picked floating heart seeds from my uncoiled 40-something tendrils, while my knees are wishing they were 20 again, implanting dirt of first light flowers of mute swan daydreams amid backyard moon bows 20-some years before. But I'm never forgetful of us or this place. Where Grandpapa's daddy was born and deaded on the Bayou Tech, where lace curtains blow on the river breezes, where I look at the depth sky and you, tattooing astronomy on the flesh of my eyelids, on perfumed emotional blankets, on wet embankments, breathing slow like carriage-drawn poetry, moving even the truest, suspicious native, ordinary and stunning. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And Daniel, what did you think?
I thought this was great. I always have trouble with writing these. I start off trying to write descriptive, you know, almost story-like, poems, and I end up talking about the meaning of the universe or something. I can't help it. It's really hard for me to just stick with that, and I'm always amazed when they do it. Yeah, the picture itself is beautiful. It's really nice. It's got a great feel to it. But just amazing descriptions, and it's one of those ones that's, you know, like you could read a whole book on this, right? Like this is what a... It reminds me of just like Ray Bradbury. If you guys have ever read Ray Bradbury's real descriptive books, they're so beautiful and good. And he has a great way of just getting you into you can feel like you're standing right there when you read his books. And I liked when you look at the depths of the sky and you tattooing astronomy on the flesh of my eyelids is an interesting phrase. And, you know, I think that, to me, that means, like, when you're staring up, I've done that before, my wife and I don't know if anybody's familiar with Massachusetts, but there's a place called Rockport, which is just a little, you know, fishing town, kind of like the fishing towns in Scotland there, Weaver. But, you know, there were these rocks there on the side, and we go there at night sometimes and just lie on the rocks and look up at the stars, because the Boston area, you know, it's a city, you can't see them good, but there you could see them better. And we used to have little star charts and try to find the constellations, but you kind of just stare, you know, you know, even though it's dark, you just, your eyes are wide open and you don't even blink sometimes because you're just kind of staring and looking around. So that's what it reminded me of. It's beautiful. Well done. Well deserved. Front page pick. And what about you, Gray?
Yeah, you know, I thought the poem was beautiful. You know, I'm going to read a comment by Key Ink poem, and it's, "There is nothing ordinary and a lot of stunning here, Sandra. I've never seen the bayou. It is a place in my fantasy, a play or a film of interminable sweat, damp and dripping green moss. I remember the film Steel Magnolias. Love that. And your poem is full a memory. Ecstaticize. Is that a word? Real or not, just as rereadable. In along the brackish water, striking of beauty, full of eyes and bird feet, I see swamp and gators and waders. Is that far too literal? The speed of carriage drawn poetry. Yes, all should be in the too fast world, where everything passes without a chance to sit on the porch and contemplate." And Sandra Lee responded, "Thank you so much, Don, for your lovely review. I have written many confessional pieces in regard to my life on the other side of the screen. This one is a bit more of fantasy mixed with a bit of real in the spirit of the prompt artwork. I would say your vision of the bayou to be on the real side. Boats, wading boots, probably so. I agree, too. We live in a world that is too much in a hurry. Slower, kinder times I miss. I will come by to catch up with you soon, my friend." It's a stunning piece. You know, it really pulls you into that whole scene that she speaks of with the along the brackish water, striking a beauty full of eyes and bird feet. You know, you can imagine that the bayou is full of eyes and bird feet. gators, right? Yeah, I don't know. Gators and swamp things. And I don't know. The bayous have always been a place that, you know, I like to watch in movies because it adds such an atmosphere of mystery and danger. You know, like, you're always surrounded by danger in the bayou, in my opinion. But I don't know if I'd want to go there, quite honestly. But, you know, the poem is wonderfully written, and it's such a heavenly rite filled with the emotions of love and devotion. So I thought it was beautiful. At the same time, it was kind of haunting as well. So since I left you among the ceaseless cypress and creeping Spanish mosses, I followed the yellow brick path back into your world, flirting with every possibility. I remember you. I've embraced you in the bright center of my chest, the hollowing between the clavicles, the rain pebbles are feeding you deep stock of your ghostly frame. I mean, that's just haunting for sure. Excellent write, Sandra Lee, and excellent read as well. All right. What are your thoughts? Did everybody get a comment on that?
Yeah,
I don't know if we did. Oh, you did? Okay, so there we go.
I think I did. I'm pretty sure I did. And you wrote up. Let's just go on to our next extravaganza. You Are Silent by Cedar Chapman. And Gray, would you like to read this for us, please?
Yes, you bet. Just 1 second here.
Yeah. No problem.
Okay, here we go. You Are Silent by Cedar Chapman. And it's got a picture. It says, "If there is a God, he will have to beg my forgiveness." And then in quotations, "A phrase carved into a concentration camp cell by a Jewish prisoner. You are silent. Millions of King David's stars immolated to lifeless six-sided ash that drift down like snowflakes. We dare not catch them with our tongue. You abandon us. The chimneys never stop churning. Brick-laden flues chew up our flesh, shape our bones, until we incinerate to a naked void. Every Hanukkah, every bar mitzvah, mothers, matzo ball soup, preachers, rabbis, sons and daughters, it makes no difference. Hatred's gaping maw spits us out like hellfire, scorching the ones who still walk this earth. Emaciated skin puppets who roam this barred maze, wrought with hunger, nauseated by the memories of Sunday brisket, from the smell of charred humanity, perfume in the air. Everyone burns to dust. I peep through the spruce planks to watch the cinder rain down onto blackened soil, every ember glowing without a voice, forsaken. I shall see you soon, and when we meet, you will beg my forgiveness. In his author's notes, he says, I am not Jewish. This poem prompt inspired me to write a fictional, evocative poem. It baffles me how the world allowed the Holocaust to happen. It scares me even more how something like this can happen again if we aren't careful. You must never forget it. You must write poems and stories about it. We must learn it. We must grow from it. And I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, the Holocaust was such a horrendous thing, you know, and so many millions of Jewish people were killed in that whole era of time, you know, by one crazed leader who tried to overtake the world with his madness. And, you know, thankfully, you know, he did get put in his place eventually, but, you know, how much damage did he do before that? You know, how many souls were lost and condemned to walk those grounds where they were, you know, tortured until their death, you know? I mean, you know, I've seen pictures of gold teeth and, you know, it's just sickening what they did to these people, and it's so tragic. So I salute you, Cedar Chapman, for, writing your poem and saying your piece. You know, it really is powerful, and I agree, we must never forget, you know, because people like Donald Trump would have this happen again. Sorry if anybody's a Trump follower, but I'm not. So, sorry, just my opinion. Daniel, what did you think?
I think you're right about Trump 100%, but let's not take it political here. And yeah, that is the reason why we do it. You know, what I think he would have done to, Mexicans, I think that probably could have happened, you know. And so I agree. I mean, this is really well written and tasteful, but it's important, and I'm glad that he wrote this piece. So most people have probably seen the movie Schindler's List, that you should definitely see it if you haven't. It's a very important piece. It's one of the only times I cried in the theater at the end. it's so amazing. I mean, John Williams is such an amazing person. And I don't want to ruin the end if anybody has seen it, but the very end, which isn't even part of the actual story, when he just comes on with this piano piece that he wrote and they're in the end part, it's just when you take the whole movie in and then you see that, it's just so, you know, like he says, it's amazing that these things can happen. And you're right about Hitler, but the scarier part, Gray, is a lot of other people did his dirty work. Now, you know, I always say that, you know, look, you can't blame a lot of the Nazis because a lot of them were just soldiers. They were just people on the street that were trying to defend Germany, and they were taken in by propaganda, and they thought that they were doing the right thing for the country. They were just fighting the enemy, and this is what they were told. It's kind of the same thing that's happening with Trump, where he's manipulating everybody and telling him this is the way it is, but it's not, and he's just getting, you know, people to follow him. But besides just the soldiers, you know, the people on the top like Himmler and Heinrich and these people who ran the concentration camps and did these things, I mean, you know, there are evil people in the world, and you have to remember these things to stop them. It was Hitler that ran it, but it wasn't just him. There were other people that could do it, and there's people like that around now, you know. So unfortunately, we need poems like this and movies like Schindler's List to remind us, like the author says, to remind us that, you know, these things can happen, and don't repeat history. So, excellent, excellent job. And I think we're still waiting for Weaver to comment.
Yes, I would like to say well done, Cedar. I'm so pleased you wrote this. I have a great fondness in my heart for the Jewish people and Jewish religion, Jewish food, Jewish sense of humor. I think they are an amazing group of people. It makes me angry to remember what's been done. And I hope that nowadays, given that we are instantly in touch with anybody and everybody as quickly as we need to be, we would have some kind of control. We'd have some kind of say in what goes on. We have to stand up for people. We need to stand up, because look what happens if you don't. It just makes me ill. I'm sorry. I'm spitting nails. I get so angry. And yes, thank you so much for writing this, because as you say, it cannot be forgotten and it should never be forgotten. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Yeah, it's amazing how weak some people can get. You know, I was talking the other day about strength. Might have been on the Double Helix show, actually, but, you know, that was 2 days ago. I can't remember what we talked about 5 minutes ago. But we're talking about, you know, and there is a strength in like, mob people and people like Hitler and those. There is a type of strength, but to me, I think it's mostly weakness, you know, because to me, it's strength is to care about people, to sacrifice for yourself, not to just think of yourself. You know, so I don't even really consider that much strength. People who are just murderous and selfish, and they just don't care. You know, like I said, you watch any mob movies, these are people that just don't care about anything but themselves. And I don't think that's true strength. That's true will. You know, strength is a fireman running into a burning building, right? Strength is giving up yourself for somebody else, is making sacrifices. You know, it's something we have to, you know, we have to be the strong ones, and you know, the ones that care are the ones that are strong. It takes something to do that, to actually care about another person, you know, and sacrifice. So anyway, off my soapbox and on to the next poem.
Okay, but I totally agree with you there. It's a different kind of strength.
Absolutely.
It's easy to just turn your back. So easy, because you're thinking about yourself and what would happen to you. So yeah, we know it happens, but hopefully it will never, ever happen again. And I, for one, I'm going to make sure it doesn't. I'll be out there with my little gun. There have to be a little gun.
Yeah.
Anyway, Talking to the Moon is our next piece of wonderful poetry, and this is by our very own Sabina, and there is a SoundCloud for this, Gray, if you'd be so kind.
Okie dokie. You said it was Serena?
Yes, Selena. And it's Talking to the Moon. I'm sorry.
Okay, great. Awesome. Right. Here we go.
She sits in silence, nestled in a blanket of starlight, casting her benevolent eye upon me, beckoning me, as if to say, I'm listening. Her soft, soothing glow embraces me. I feel her comforting rays, like gentle fingers caressing my troubled, weary mind. Mistress Moon, can you feel my pain? I whisper. Pour your radiance upon me. Fill me with wonder once again. Her very presence arouses memories of yesterday, when my life blossomed under his love. In the sweet, balmy summer air of midnight, under the seductive spell of her captivating countenance, Now my heart confesses to my clandestine confidence, my deep desolation of being without him, my mournful sighs drift on the playful breeze, like tumbleweeds weaving wildly in the wind, all alone. So, here I sit, talking to the moon, lost in my lonely reverie of what once was, yet warmed by her luminescence, I bask in comforting camaraderie. Her healing aura enfolds me with hope. My words tumble out like a waterfall of woe, cleansing the sullied stains upon my soul. The path before me calls as she lights the way, so I may tread it, leading to a new lover's arms. Who knows?
Wow. You know, she is so freaking talented. She, you know, she's such an artist in her writes and her reads. Her ability to capture your heart, you know, and pluck it like a violin, it's astounding. You know, she really is, I think, one of the most talented poetesses that I know. You know, I love you, Stelina. Your work is just always impeccable. And I said in my comments, OMFG, you are so exceptionally talented in the art of poetry and reading your SoundClouds. I hope one day to be as good of a poet as you are. And, you know, it's truly incredible how talented she is. You know, her ability to just sweep you off your feet with her rights and carry you away into another realm. You know, it's just a beautiful thing. And I thought it was just fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing, and congratulations on your front page book. Yeah, so great job. Awesome. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Hey, yeah, the same as well too. Now I couldn't, for some reason I heard it, and it was beautiful, and I loved to read. I couldn't see it. I didn't see the post. I wasn't able to read it for some reason. I don't know why I couldn't find it, but listening to it was amazing. This is how much I like Stelina's poem, I'm going to say. So we were talking earlier about Postmodern Jukebox. They were actually just live on Instagram from that theater in Vancouver, just as Stelina's poem was going on. And Stelina, I did not listen to it. I actually gave up that chance to listen to your poetry. And that's how much I like your poetry. So, but it was beautifully done. And you're right. She has these great productions to her. I mean, she's an artist, a true artist, all around. So it was great. It was beautiful. It was really, really excited to really, really great to listen to. And Harmono Neurotica is on. Hi there, Harmo. How are you doing? And Timidus Rex is on as well, too. So lots of people on here. And Rosie's on as well, too. I don't know if you said hi to Rosie before, so a lot of people on the board right now. And Weaver, I don't know if you got to comment. And
no,
we'll just mute. We'll mute while you comment.
Thank you. Wow. She does it to me every time. She is so exceptionally good at what she does. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's just, yeah, I wish she could get out to a wider public. I really do, because she deserves it. Her work is sterling. I mean, it's so beautiful. How does she do that? How does she manage to read every single word so perfectly, and it never sounds as if she has to stop and start or, you know, go back or whatever. So clever and so well done. And her voice is like liquid gold. I love it. It's just lovely. And I like you, I think her talent is second to none. It really is. It, every single time, you know you're going to get a complete and absolute treat. And different. She does so many different types of and styles of sound clouds and poetry. So, you know, it's always a delight. And thank you so much to Lena for sharing that. And I hope everything's going well with you and your daughter. Thank you.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment. And, you know, she put she did the artwork for my profile picture, I think, last year. And, yeah, I love it. You know, she really captures who I am, you know, as a person, you know, being Native. And so I'm really grateful to her. It's better than my ugly mug being up there, that's for sure. So thank you so much for my profile picture, Selena, and thank you for being such a wonderful soul. And I wish you all the best in everything that you do.
Well said, my dear. Well said.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up we have Today. I'm doing this today. This is Escapism by our very own Daniel. And so would you care to read this for us, please, Daniel?
Oh, Lord, yes, absolutely. I can definitely do that. And all we're in December because it's the front page pick of mine in December. this is by me, Escapism. Shades of red and black as bloody burnt knives they cut when all is quiet. I don't really understand silence, not anymore. I might just remember what it was like in the crib so long ago. Silence. Now, smirking demons slowly emerging from the fog, watching closely, eagerly, for me to freeze petrified. And then the endless claws attack, memory upon memory, gravestone over a casket, over an ancient burial ground, over the remnants of a sacrificial site from the forgotten civilization, over everything below. But that is gone to the dirt, buried. Below is gone to the dirt. Memories desecrated landscapes for the eyes, spray painting on priceless artworks from selfish martyrs. A beautiful state park on a summer day. Why did I say that to her there? Fall Harvest Festival, it was just an accident. I wasn't watching where I was going. I'm such an idiot, too busy stuffing my face. Driving down the highway, how embarrassing is a speeding ticket with your family? The Super Bowl dome in the distance, I don't even want to think about that. So far, hard to find a place that's not tattooed with the pointing finger of memory. Silence. Always waiting for me. I did it to myself. A kind of silent suicide. Memories. Just a biography, a book I cannot read. But I have fantasy. Music in the fuel of my car. TV, the job after work. Science fiction novels to escape from Earth. And poetry, the only therapist that really understands. Someday I'll be dead. And those smiling, silent demons with me. They know that. That's why they keep me alive. That's what... why they allow me to escape, the escapism. They're as afraid of me as I am of them. So I escape from reality, not really alive. They hide in the silence, no way to really live. And someday, we will all just be gone. End poem. So I completely forgot about this poem as I was before I read it, but now I'm reading it. I'm like, okay, I remember writing this one. I didn't even know this was on here. It just gets me thinking, you know, I'm kind of person that's always busy. And sometimes, you know, revel in the I like the silent times, the quiet times, but sometimes those can be the hardest times because that's when your mind starts working, right? When you're not preoccupied, you start thinking. And I started thinking about how you can, you know, you can build up the good times in your life, but you can always build up, you can also build up the bad times. And you're driving around, you look at things and you remember just bad things that had happened. Sometimes your own memories, your own self can just really get to you where, you know, you just, all you're remembering is all the thing, you know, I can't believe I did this to this person in third grade, you know, 25 years ago, why did I say that to this person? It just, you know, these things can come up and haunt you forever. But I always describe, people say they have guardian angels. I always say I have guardian demons. meaning like they keep me alive. They don't let me hurt harm come to me, but they like torture me along the way. I know it's a dark way to think, but sometimes I feel like that, you know. But those demons hide in the shadows, right? And they keep me alive because they're in my memory. And if I'm gone, they're gone. So it's just kind of exploring that. If I can take the liberty to comment on my own poem and talk about it. But yeah, thanks for letting me read and being the honor of being on the show.
Oh, I loved it. Can I comment, please?
I wish you would.
I thought it was, I'm so glad to hear you talk about it, because it does help when what's in your mind goes out onto the page, and then you can explain to somebody like me where it came from. And I love it. I mean, I can spend 8 hours not talking. I don't talk much. It's been a constant complaint of my entire family, my entire life. I don't talk enough. I keep everything inside. And that's a bad thing, obviously, because I can't stand silence, because silence allows me to look back on my life, as you did, as you were thinking of, and all the things that hurt. And so I bury them. I went to a therapist because I can't sleep. And for the first hour, the only hour, I just cried. I couldn't talk. There's no way I could have given that man words to explain what was going on in my head. And so I can totally understand this. And I loved it. I thought it was so good. And you read it so well as well, which is also great, because it's not always easy to read your own things. And someday I'll be dead and those smiling, silent demons with me. I like that. I like that. You're getting your revenge because you're going with me, you so-and-sos. I like it very much. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Daniel.
Thanks, Weaver. I really appreciate it.
Great comment, Katie. Thank you. Ryan Jeffrey Howard, what an amazing poetry with powerful imagery and guilt pointed at yourself. Truly worthy of a front page pick. One brilliantly if conflicted poem. I noticed that you commented on everybody else's comment, but you didn't respond to her. Is there any reason why? Just out of curiosity?
I probably missed it. No, no reason why. Let me see here. I will do it when we're done. I just missed it when it came, so no reason at all. I'm sorry about that, and thanks for pointing it out, because I will definitely comment back.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's just underneath the Epinesis comment, but you know, your poem is fantastic, dude. You know, you really speak from the heart and the soul in this right throughout, and you really speaks to who you are and what you do and how you live. I really don't understand silence, not anymore. I might best just remember what it is like, what it was like in the crib so long ago. Silence. Wow. You know, the whole thing is just filled with just punch after punch, you know. I did it to myself, a kind of silent suicide. Memories, just a biography, a book I cannot read. Wow. You know, like, I think we all kind of do this to a certain extent. You know, we all seek escapism from our lives. And, you know, I guess we all have demons, you know, that really is part of our existence, always dealing with these demons in our life, you know, whether we made them or whether they were brought upon us by somebody else's doing. You know, it's memory upon memory, gravestone over a casket, over an ancient burial ground, over the remnants of a sacrificial site from the forgotten civilization, over everything below that has gone to the dirt buried below. It's gone to the dirt. You know, it's an epic, right? It really is deserving of the front page pick, for sure. You know, you got one powerful pen going here. I really loved it. You did an excellent job on the read, so thank you for sharing, Daniel. Congratulations on the front page pick.
Thanks, thanks, Gray. I really, really appreciate that. And the board's going kind of crazy, not necessarily about my you know, poetry, but everybody's talking and having a great time, which I love to see. I will say, you know, Rex talked about escapism, and, you know, reality gets overwhelming, and that is it. You know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, I can't stand life, I have to escape. We all do that. We all have a day, and you know what? I'm just going to go read a book or listen to music or just disappear for a little bit. It's meditation. It's good for you. You know, I think, you know, a little bit of escapism or just escapism when you need it is not a bad thing. I will also say, how can I put this politically correct? There seems to be some partaking of foreign matters with a lot of our board people today right now. So have a good time, guys. Nothing wrong with that either. People seem to be having some fun on the board. So, but yeah, lots of people talking tonight. So great. Thanks for everybody for joining the board. And we got 20 minutes left. Let's get some in here.
Okay.
So,
well,
what do we got?
I've been told that the DW's SoundCloud has been added.
Awesome.
Yeah, because there was nothing on the Open Poetry, so I just carried on with Front Page Picks. But then I was told it was there. So. And I hope the board they are is not BORED. It can be any other kind of board they want, but not that. So
yeah,
here we have.
I don't think so. They're all friends talking up a storm. Yeah, excellent. I'm glad that we got the SoundCloud on there. Let's hear it. That's good news.
Right. It's up there now. Gray, if you could get that SoundCloud for us, that'd be wonderful. Thank you. Terrors in the Mist by DW.
Sorry.
I see a portal opening in the distance. Red alert. Now, time for resistance. My heart sinks to my core. What's emerging cannot be ignored. Somewhere between here and there is them, out to wreak havoc again. Not of this dimension, inflicting incomprehension. Ethereal beings that oscillate between absence and sight. Shimmering between spectrums of chaotic light. No physical form that can be explained. An indecipherable shape, an enigma retained. Gliding effortlessly, defying gravity. Silently they would approach. Steadfastly stalking, approaching voraciously. Until you're blinded by thick, white smoke. They've learned how to make you dream. Even when you're awake, it seems. The smoke is not real, it's all in your mind, designed to destroy all your senses combined. They'll munch your brain without a thought. Humanity to them is but sustenance sought. We mustn't underestimate their dread, or soon they'll be sated and we'll all be dead.
Whoa, that was powerful. Real, X-Files vibe going on that, you know, Terrors in the Mist. I mean, it's just absolutely haunting, you know, that St. Fifties, you know, it's a good thing it's a fictional, right? Because God knows who wouldn't be terrified of such creatures that glide effortlessly, defying gravity, silently they approach, steadfastly stalking, approaching ferociously until you're blinded by thick white smoke. They've learned how to make you dream even when you're awake, it seems. The smoke is not real, it's all in your mind, designed to destroy all your senses combined. They'll munch your brain without a thought. Humanity to them is but substance sought. You mustn't try to underestimate their dread, or soon you'll be sated and we'll all be dead. Whoa, powerful, right? I really liked it. I mean, to me, that could be an X-Files episode, as far as I'm concerned. It's just a talented, right, and a very talented read as well. So congratulations on such a fantastic piece, DW, and thank you for sharing. All right, what did you think, Danny?
It was great, and DW said on there it was his first sci-fi write. What a voice, huh? Wow. I'm always amazed. You know, we have so many great voices. You know, we talked about Stellina, but DW, what a voice. I mean, so many great voices on this show that record. And this is great. Again, another amazing story, descriptive poem, which I just love. It's something I struggle with. It's hard for me to do. But this is amazing. I love story and poetry in poetry form. I think there can be more of that. I've been looking for a really good story in poetry form, not necessarily the classical sense, you know, like Beowulf, but just something like this, actually. It's just so great to read. Again, it reminds me a little bit of, you know, like Ray Bradbury writes kind of like that. Poe obviously does, but Ray Bradbury has a hint of that, which I really like. Ethereal beings that oscillate between absence and sight. Wow, that's amazing. Not between darkness and light, between absence and sight. I think that's really, really cool. Then oscillate back and forth. How scary is that, right? But just the use of the word absence. So the word choices in this are really amazing. An indecipherable shape, an enigma retains. Gliding effortlessly defying gravity. You know, I think he really, talking about these creatures, I think he really just came up with a unique and an amazing way to describe them. And really, he can, you know, there's probably so many different ways to picture it. And what's great about this is, you know, a lot of times you'll read stories with descriptions, and the descriptions will be very, very specific. You know, they're trying to get across, this is what this thing looks like. Or they'll be very not specific, and as a reader, sometimes it's hard to imagine what it is. But this is such a great description because it is very specific, but it's not specific. It's specific that you know, in almost the feel of the creature as opposed to the look. So everybody is going to create this you know, look that's going to match, you know, almost what they want, almost what their horror would be, what their idea of this type of creature would be, which I think is just an amazing way to do it. It's something that only a really talented writer could do. So this whole thing is great, well-deserved front page pick. And DW, this should be the first part of the first chapter of a story. Keep going. I want to hear the rest of this. That's my comment there. And so Weaver, go for it.
Oh yes, so good. I mean, the picture alone is just spine tingling, but the voice reading the words, just perfect. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great story. I love sci-fi. I've been reading sci-fi since I was 12 years old, and there are things that are now coming true that I read about all those many years ago. So I love anything like this, anything that's ethereal and oscillates between absence and sight. You're right, that is a beautiful, clever way to put it. And shimmering between spectrums of chaotic light. Beautiful, DW, really is. Well done. Atmospheric, creepy as hell. Oh, I mean, creepy as all get out. I love this, they'll munch your brain without a thought. Humanity to them is but sustenance sought. That is, yeah, cool. They'd have a hard job finding a brain amongst an awful lot of people that I know, but, you know, good on them. Go for it. I liked it. I really did. I really enjoyed it. And yes, as Daniel says, more of that, please. Let's get chapter 2 on the road. Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones, and I've read these seven things many times on the site, where we read little stories like this, and I just want more. I'm like, where's the rest of the, just the first chapter or whatever, where's the rest? And yeah, you got to keep going. Rex said, third bite at hearing DW, the voice as well with the projected imagery drawn. Absolutely. That's what I was trying to say, Rex. You said it much, much better than I did. And Rosie, DW has a nice voice. He's really been a fave of many. Rosie, oh, we need audiobook. There you go. That would be good. Uh-oh, we have a late last-minute guest, it sounds like.
We do. Area code 423. Who's calling, please?
Hello, hello, hello. How's everybody doing?
Oh, Mike.
Hey, Rex.
Oh, my God, it's Rex.
Hello, Mikey.
What's doing? I've been listening.
I can't tell you, Rex. I can't tell you. You're too young. I just can't let you in on the secret. You're too young. Come back when you're older. We're not telling
you. That sounds a bit naughty.
Yeah.
Considering I'm pushing 70, so.
You're pushing who?
I'm pushing 70, so.
Oh, get out of here. Don't.
It's true.
No way. You sound like you're about 45.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, like in your early 40s.
Yeah. Don't.
You
got
a very strong voice.
Yeah. So you get the
that
heart.
You kind
of
pull the wool over.
Young man and all that. So, hey, 70. I don't know if you heard earlier. I went to my aunt's 104th birthday today. 70. You're spring chicken. You got plenty of time.
Yeah.
To go. you know, not a problem.
Well,
cool.
If his body's as powerful as his brain, then, you know, he's definitely got a lot of time left on this earth, that's for sure. Thank you for calling in, Rex. Good to hear your voice.
And you. It's been a while. I figured you guys are having way too much
sure
fun. So that jump in.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Excellent. All right, so we probably got time for at least one more, and I think we probably want to put Rex to work is what I'm guessing.
Oh, I think so.
We have one more SoundCloud. True Caller by Kindle Wild. Yeah. Sorry, Rex.
I didn't know that.
Oh, that's all right.
Can you put it up for me then, if you've got it there? I haven't seen it.
No, Ray. Gray, that was the opening song.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. I don't know why it says...
It was great.
I'd
like to hear
it
again.
My intro.
That's okay.
Oh,
yeah.
It is. It says intro, dude. Okay, well, what do we got for Rex to read, then?
I have, this will be fun, babe, I have Sailor on Land by Nuno Cardoso. Over to you, Rex. Go for it, babe.
Sailor on Land by Nuno Cardoso. Switzerland butterflies rest at the madhouse balcony, and the snow welcomes my feet. Oh, hey, oh, hey. Texas delights shine in my bed as I lead to embark on the sea. Just another sailor who don't know you. Hey, oh, hey, oh. Rope on the throat as of late, gentle breath between the squeeze, blades behind hats dangle on a dart. Hey, 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 hey. Another bottle of rum, another pint, wet dock, wet sack, dry lungs, cold casket. No one visits a man in sea at midnight. Yayo, yo, hey. Oh, oh, winter, where's he next? And thanks.
Great read, Rex. And, you know, Nuno is a wonderful, talented guy. I mean, you know, he suffers through bipolar. And, you know, he has a wonderful lady. I can't think of her name right now. Oh, my goodness, I'm blanking on her name. Geez, it's been so long since I've seen it.
Hope.
Hope. Yeah, that's right. Hope. He really does. She's from Texas, so I assume he's talking about her. Texas delight shine on my back as I leave to embark on the sea. Just another sailor who didn't want to leave. You know, he lives in Portugal. She lives in Texas. So, you know, there's just a long distance love story that really, you know, they really do complement each other quite beautifully. I mean, you know, he's all fucked up, but I guess she is too because she loves him. So, sorry, I didn't mean to use that F word. but no, they're a beautiful couple, and you know, their rights to each other are heartfelt. You know. But his imagination is really expressed throughout the rites, and I thought it was beautiful. Sailor on Land, yeah, talented. Great job, Nuno. Thank you for sharing. Congratulations on the front page pick. All right, Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was great, and yeah, he does, you know, sometimes he's very dark, and this is dark as well, too, but this is dark and fun at the same time. Takes Texas delight shining on my back, and that is, yeah, probably what he's talking about is hope. I think it's winter, where to next? I think it's just an interesting, almost... like it paints a picture again. This is a picture of a sailor. You know, I think there's definitely some metaphors in here, but I see it almost as just a picture of a sailor and the struggles that they have and the mental struggles. And, you know, I was thinking more of how some of these people, you know, I thought before these people think way back in the day when you're sailing, you know, people don't know what's going on. You have no contact with the world and they're on these ships in the middle of nowhere. It must have been a little kind of crazy, and a lot of them probably did get drunk just to stop the panic. I mean, I can't imagine at this time being that alone. Another bottle of rum, another pint, wet dock, wet socks, dry lung, cold casket. You know, it is dark, but it's, you know, I think it's got these multi layers on it, and so I like it as always. I do with Nuno. awesome job. And let's go with Kate.
Yes, as usual. I mean, I have heard and read this before, and I loved it then. I love it now. It's just, it's exactly how a sailor would feel. My dad was a sailor in the Royal Navy, and in those days, they were away for about 2.5 years at a time on each stretch. And he used to come home, and I didn't know who he was. And that went on for about two and a half years. And each time he went, I got another sister. Couldn't figure it out. Didn't know what was happening. But I didn't get to know him till I was 9, so I can fully appreciate it. And he had a lot of trouble adjusting to normal life when he left the Navy. So this is just so true to life. Another bottle of rum, another pint, yeah, that would be it. And I thought it was very, very clever. And as you say, those two are just a lovely couple, and their right to each other are just beautiful. So thank you for sharing, you know.
Absolutely, great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Rex, you read it. What did you think?
I think the finishing lines are kind of celebration. That note in the first stanza, away, away, is that celebration for coming home. But it wears off after a little while. Text the lights shine on my back as I leave to embark on the sea. Just another sailor who didn't want to leave. Ayo, ayo. And another note, an off-thought to leaving in the moment. And then the rope on the throat, blades behind the hats dangle on the dark. That imparts a rough and ready bar down by the docks. The hey, 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 hey is kind of that what's going on, gang. And the finishing, the bottle of rum, wet dock, wet socks. Again, wet dock, you get a double implication because the docks are wet, but wet dock here offers up that note to ship being in for repair, which does offer that note. No one visits the man at the sea at midnight. Yeah, that's kind of a little dangerous motif you want to avoid. Yo-ho, yo-ho, got that sounding call to who and what they are in the moment. And the thought to the bottom end, winter, where to next? Not much going on in winter, especially if it's frozen around where the inlets and the docks are. You can't get out until spring thaw.
Excellent, excellent comment.
Yeah, great comment.
Guessing we got 3 minutes left. Probably not enough time necessarily to squeeze in a poem, but we could probably wrap it up. And say goodbye to everybody. What a great night, and it's what I would say. I'll let you say the last words, Gray. But a great night, and I think amazing comments and participation on the board. So really, really great. Yeah, wrap it up. We're wrapping it up. Rosie, getcha. yeah, we got a couple of minutes to wrap it up and get going here. I want to go back to thank. Kendall Wilde for letting us play her song. Like I said, I reached out to her, and they're playing literally right now in Vancouver. So check out Postmodern Jukebox all over the States, all over Europe. They'll be there, amazing bands. And Kendall's a friend of the show. I've reached out a couple of times, and she's let us play her song. So thanks, Kendall. But otherwise, amazing show. Thanks, Weaver and Rex, for jumping on. And, yeah, Gray, you want to wrap us up?
Absolutely. Wonderful show tonight. Thank you so much for calling in, Rex and Daniel. And we were always, always a great time to have with you two, whatever show we were doing. I love you all. So have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon. And I'm going to call your show tonight,
brother.
Love you too, man. What day is your show, Rex?
Sundays for Rhythm and Rhyme. Tuesday mornings for after midnight, and then I sit in with Phil on Friday evenings, and Friday morning with Pam for Break On Through and Echoes in the Dark.
All right, cool. I will call one of these shows for sure.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody. Have a great night, and love you all.
Good night, everybody.
Good
night, Weaver.
Good night, my darlings.
Good night, Rex.
Have a great evening.
Good night, Daniel.
Good night, Rex.
Yes, wonderful.
Good night, man.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Wipe a tear, baby dear. Oh, we're still on. Shush.